I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where what happens? My spirit is fed. What else?
My
faith is growing stronger, and I'm learning how to be an overcomer. A lot of people have learned how to be failures. They've learned it from the people they grew up under and the people that they've been hanging out with. They see failure around them. They've experienced failure. And so they think that's just how it is and how it has to be. But you can learn how to overcome. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just like you learned how to fail, you can, but you got to be around something different. Mm-hmm. You got to see and hear something different. Yeah. The scripture says that those that are born of God are overcomers. Mm-hmm. And the thing that overcomes the whole world is our faith, the faith of the overcomer in the great God. So one of the things you got to get free from is how you've seen things and how you've come to believe things have to be. It's a darkness. It's a stronghold. And it needs to be broken, and the anointing can break it like that.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. But you got to be willing to hear something different and believe something different than you've believed. Not just believe me, some other man or woman, but believe God and what He said in His Word. So get ready to hear something that's going to change you today. Mm-hmm. Father, all of us come before You reverently and thankfully, looking to You for the words that feed our faith and our spirit. Looking to You because You are light and life itself, eternal life. Asking for that which would break the darkness from off of our minds and understanding, and that which would quicken us to the devices of the enemy so that we're no longer duped and deceived. Thank You for truth that makes us free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank You, Lord. The truth we've been talking about in recent weeks is the truths concerning God's will and plan for our provision. There's so much junk that's taught and believed in Christian circles, in churches, in ministries. So much junk that's in Christian books and writings. Beware. Just because somebody has multiple initials after their name doesn't mean they're right about what they're saying or doing. And for the child of God, everything should be measured by the written Word of God. Everything. And if it doesn't agree with that, you need to quit looking at it. Mm-hmm. Quit listening to it.
Yes.
And so this thing about God's provision or us having provision, until you can get settled and are no longer asking questions, you can't have faith for it. And so then you're in a bad spot. Because here you are going through every day questioning, bad things are happening. Oh, well, man, why is that? Why can't we get ahead? Or, you know, saying dumb stuff like, you know, I get ahead one step and get knocked back two. Hmm? Don't say that. Treat that like cuss words. Do not say such a thing. Somebody say, I'm coming up. From grace to grace.
From grace to grace.
From faith to faith.
From faith to faith.
From victory to victory.
From victory to victory.
From glory to glory.
From glory to glory.
I'm coming up.
I'm coming up.
Coming up. Now see, faith will say that when nothing looks like it.
Right.
Faith will say that when nothing feels like it. Mm-hmm. Based on what? Based on what? Based on what he said. He said. So that's why faith school. That's why we take the time to feed our spirit and, keep camping on the same point and the same truths until there's no more question. Mm-hmm. We are fully persuaded. Mm-hmm. Now we can see some change.
Yes.
Now we can reach out and lay hold. Amen. And not waver and not doubt and receive and see answers. We've been giving one by one 30 reasons from the scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And we got down to reason number 13, the redemptive names of God. We saw Jehovah in Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies us, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner or our victory, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is here, he's with us, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, our health, our prosperity. And why are we talking about these? Well, this is what God said about himself. Mm-hmm. He said, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. This is what I am. And like we said earlier in our previous point, nobody has a right to say the great I am used to be mm-hmm. and is no longer I am. He never changes. And so when he says, I am the Lord who is with you, I'm Jehovah Shammah. When's that going to change? That's never going to change. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake. Right? Does this matter? It does matter. And when he says, I am Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord, your great physician. I am the Lord who heals you. Why do I need to wrestle and say, yeah, but what if it's not God's will to heal me? Where'd you get that from? Where'd you get that? He said, I am. This. So why would you question it? See, people are questioning it because they're looking to out here to tell me what the will of God is. They're saying, well, this didn't happen, so it must not have been the will of God. If it is the will of God, it'll happen. No, that's not right. That's not what he said. No, he doesn't change. Men have changed. Men have left him. Men have replaced him with false gods and are paying the penalty for it and the consequences of it. Oh, but if somebody will draw near to him and say, I believe you, you are the Almighty God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you are this to me, then you can experience the benefits of the great I am. We saw in our seventh name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our, which one was it? It was Jehovah Reah, the Lord our shepherd. And then number 8, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And we saw that he said that. Oftentimes what happened was because of some event of God moving and doing something, they built an altar and they called it that because the Lord said, that's who I am. Or there was some kind of mark set down. It's like a pillar pointing to the generations to come to tell them this is who did this and this is who he always is and always will be. And he is the Lord our righteousness. Now, go with me if you would to Romans the 3rd chapter. And if you want to learn more about this particular point, read basically the book of Romans. Which is not a lot. I mean, it's not that many chapters. But especially, you know, the first 8 chapters or so, he talks a lot about righteousness, a bunch about it. And this is a big part of the new covenant, this revelation of righteousness. And it's something that, by and large, the church hasn't got yet. And what a lot of the church has got is this part, Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. You might say, well, see there, Brother Keith. Yeah, I know, that's why I'm reading it. But don't stop there. He's introducing this to tell you what the cross and what the work of the Lord has done about this. And you know, just generally speaking, many people think the gospel is a message of suffering. And all they focus on is the cross. Somebody says, well, what's wrong with that? Jesus is not on the cross. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And yet people try to live and act like Jesus is perpetually hanging on the cross suffering. No, he is not. He did. It was awful and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. At the same time. But the great thing is what it accomplished for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. And it has been done. Yes. How many understand at one point the Lord said, it is finished.
It is finished.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then when he rose from the dead, those 3 days later, he hadn't been on the cross since.
Praise
y'all, were, y'all with me now? He has ascended and is set down at the right hand of majesty on high, denoting complete victory over every aspect of our redemption. That's the gospel.
Amen.
And it's not a message of suffering. It's the message of what his suffering accomplished for us, what he got for us. And one of the big things he got for us, enabled us to have, is righteousness. His righteousness that without him doing it, we could never have attained. And so he says this was the state of all mankind and is the state of all mankind without God. Mm-hmm. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. Now, a lot of times people, you know, they camp on that. And that's all they talk about. And a lot of times they'll quote with this Isaiah 64. That just keep your place in Romans. But in Isaiah 64, it says, verse 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there's none that call on your name and stir himself up to take hold of you. And people preach that. There's none righteous. No, not one. That's without Christ.
Exactly.
Oh, come on, y'all listening.
Yes.
That's without God. That's without salvation. But the child of God, the born again one, is not without Christ.
Amen.
Oh, come on, can you see this? Can you see this?
Yes.
Go to the 10th chapter of Romans. And if we had time and should do it, it would be wonderful to take every verse of that third chapter, fourth chapter, fifth chapter, sixth chapter, on our way to 10, because he goes into great detail about how Adam's sin caused death to come in, and because of that, you know, man's not righteous and man's not acceptable, and death prevailed over all mankind after that. But Christ came. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A man came.
Yes.
God made man. God made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He came and he is perfect righteousness. He is perfect holiness and he took our place.
Amen.
Oh, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He took our place. And here's the thing. Became sin with our sin. Did he really do that or not? The Bible says he did.
Yes.
To what end? Why? I mean, he didn't need to pay for his own sin. Why do that? He became, the Bible said, we're going to see this in a bit, he became sin with our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, somebody say, I believe it.
I believe it.
In fact, where are you? You're in Romans 10?
Yes.
Romans 10:3. He's talking about Israel trying to be righteous by the law, said they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. Righteousness is not something you earn and attain to. It's something you submit to.
Amen.
And receive as a free gift. Woo. And he went on to say, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. How do I become righteous? Christ is the end of it. He's how you become righteous and only way you become righteous. In 2 Corinthians 9, I quoted it earlier, but let's take the time to look at it. 2 Corinthians 9, well, 1 Corinthians 9 is where I want you to go. We said that he was made sin for us. Mm-hmm. Now, don't let that just get by you. He was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Somebody say, made sin, made
sin.
Made sin. Was he really made sin?
Yes.
This is the question. A lot of folks don't believe this yet. They think, well, you know, Jesus was sinless and spotless and he didn't have anything to do with sin. No, the scripture said he was made sin. Why at one point when he's hanging on the cross did he say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Moses was told to put up a serpent on a pole, a brass snake on a pole. And we're told in John 3, that's a type of Christ.
Yes.
A snake on a pole is a type of Jesus? Yes. The snake represented the sin and all of that. The brass represents judgment. It's on a pole or a tree representing the cross. When Jesus hung on the cross, he became sin with my sin and your sin.
Amen.
And he was judged for it there. He didn't just empathize or sympathize with our sin. He became sin with our sin. What's the result of that? So that we might be made. Oh, somebody help me with this. We might be made. Somebody say made.
Made.
Made the righteousness of God in Christ. Somebody said out loud. Made.
Made.
Made the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, you couldn't say it too many times. Made.
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 The righteousness of God in Christ. Him who knew no sin was made to be sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. What's this got to do with provision? Everything. Like we talked about yesterday, one of the big things that all human beings struggle with is condemnation. Shame. And you know, the enemy will try to jump on you no matter what's going coming up and go, you don't deserve that. You don't deserve to have that or be used that way or have access to that or have the use of that. After all your failures and all your mistakes, you don't deserve it. You don't. Well, that's true if you're talking about just me and what I could do to make myself righteous and worthy, which is why I had to have a Savior. I couldn't do it. I couldn't fix myself. Oh, but he did. I said, oh, but he did. And did he really become sin?
Yes.
Then I've really been made righteous.
Amen.
Oh, my, my, my. And that means I've been accepted in the Beloved, and God sees no inferiority. He doesn't see failure in me. I'm accepted.
Amen.
Because my righteousness is his righteousness.
Amen.
How could it not be accepted?
Amen.
Oh, come on, can you see this? And that's why he talks about this. The Lord, my righteousness, He said, Isaiah 54:17, don't turn there, but Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
Don't you like that?
Amen.
And every tongue that will rise against you in judgment, you will condemn. Now get this, it's trying to condemn you and hurt you, but you're going to condemn it.
Hallelujah.
Why? A weapon's trying to be formed against you. Now come on, think about this. The Bible said we need to learn how to be strong in the Lord and stand against all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And he talks about in Ephesians about putting on the whole armor of God. One of the big pieces of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. What does it do? It protects you from the fiery darts of you're not worth it. You're no good. You shouldn't have any of it. You're not good enough. You're a failure. You're a this. You're unworthy. If you don't have the breastplate on, you're going to have arrows sticking out everywhere. And you will just feel hopeless and helpless. And the enemy say, you are just a pitiful, quivering mass of a failure. And you'll go, I know it. I'm just pitiful. But if you will put on the righteousness that comes straight from the Lord, he's saying, look, you need this. So here is my righteousness. Take it. Oh, somebody say, take it. Take it. Put it on. Put it on. Put it on. And so when these arrows come zipping in from the enemy, you don't deserve it. You don't. It goes boing, boing, boing. And you need to be able to say both in order to put it on. That's how you put it on, is by saying it, believing it, receiving it, saying it. You say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have been made. Now, people stumble over this. Oh, they do. Because all they've ever heard is there's none righteous. No, not one. Isn't that true? Yeah, was true. I was an old unrighteous sinner, but now I have been saved.
Amen.
And the Lord has been made unto me. Oh, somebody say, made unto me.
Amen.
Made unto me. That verse we were reading in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. He said, this is the heritage of the saints of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. Oh, friend, this stops the argument.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Somebody said, well, you're not righteous. Tell him.
Yes.
He said, I am. Is that right?
Yes.
He said, my righteousness is of him. So you say it ain't good enough? He said it's his.
Yes.
Woo. Somebody say, my righteousness.
My righteousness.
Because that's what he said, their righteousness. My righteousness,
my righteousness
is of him.
Is of him.
It is of him. 1 Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 1 and 30 says it like this. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
1 Corinthians 1, 30 says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Am I redeemed?
Yes.
Yeah. How did I accomplish it? I didn't. Christ was made redemption to me.
Amen.
Have I been sanctified?
Yes.
Have I been made holy?
Yes.
How did I attain to this holiness? I didn't. The Lord made me. Oh, come on. Are y'all with me or not? He made me. Christ himself is made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. How did that happen? It's the great substitution. God accepted Christ's substitution. He accepted him taking our place. What you sow, you have to reap. The wages of sin is death. That's just righteousness. The righteous judge of all the earth, he can't bend that. He can't change that for you. Or he'd change who he is. What he will allow is somebody else to pay for it.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. This is salvation.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And especially if you couldn't pay for it. If you could never pay for it, then you're hopelessly lost. But the Lord will allow another to take your place.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, glory to God. And the only way he could accomplish that was by allowing. Now this is something we don't know much about. You can only just accept it by faith. But Jesus Christ, he is the Lamb without spot. Holy, pure, beyond any fault or flaw, any transgression or sin. Pure, holy, perfect, became sin. He allowed the sin of all mankind, past, present, future generations, to converge on his sinless, spotless being, and he became sin. That's what he was praying about in the garden. That's why blood was coming out of his pores. That's why he was saying, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. And there was no other way. There was no other way for us to be made righteous except for him to become sin. Did he become sin?
Yes.
And that's why that when he died, he went into the heart of the earth. And the enemy rejoiced over it and thought they had won for 3 days and nights. Oh, but when justice was satisfied, when the price was completely paid, the Father spoke, hallelujah, from the throne. And he said, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. And I mean, hell shook. And the Lord arose with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he got eternal salvation for us.
Hallelujah.
He got eternal redemption for us. That includes righteousness. Said out loud, I have been made
the
righteousness of God,
in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, the scripture talks about the righteousness of giving and the righteousness of helping others. And that's what God intends, is that our boldness and confidence enables us to lay hold of huge resources and distribute them and give with righteous actions and righteous ministry and movement. And it's all because of Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord who has become now my righteousness. My time's up again. Said out loud,
the Lord is
my righteousness.
He
has made me worthy
forever.
Amen.
Time's
up again, but tomorrow there's going to be more. We'll see you back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.